That's good. And welcome back to the History on the Rocks podcast. This is your host, Cody, and of course, joining me... my beautiful wife, Audrey.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Well, it's hot as hell outside.
It is steamy.
I just came in from doing some yard stuff, and I think I just lost 10 pounds in sweat. That was ridiculous.
Yeah, I hope it kind of starts to cool off a little bit.
The humidity is just terrible.
Yeah, if it wasn't humid, it would be okay, but good old Midwest weather.
Yeah, there's nothing better than going to take a shower and then getting out of the shower and still sweating.
Yeah.
That's like the worst.
That's how I felt last night.
Oh.
We came home and we were outside pretty much all evening and I'm like, I need to shower.
Yeah. You just
hot and sticky.
You just like ugh, feel like you're just got out of the water.
Yep.
But in the gross way. What are you drinking over there? It's red today.
It is red today. I opened my bottle of Booyah, another Prairie State Winery.
Booyah.
A wine from Genoa. It's a Zinfandel aged in bourbon barrels.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Those bourbon barrel tastes.
Yeah, it's good.
Those always make wine get that like heavy oaky taste.
Yeah, I haven't even taken a sip of it, but I've had it. So like I like it. I bought it. So.
So.
But I haven't taken a sip yet.
What day did we go over there? That was on Sunday.
Sunday.
I had my first glass of wine, and I don't even know how long on Sunday.
Yeah, I was so shocked that you got wine, but I guess. Your other
they really
choices
they had like brandy and then gin, but I don't drink either of those.
But I bet the brandy in like a mixed drink would have been okay, but like brandy straight, bleh.
Yeah, there was not a coffee good. Brandy drink just, that looked really good, but I was like, no. I drank some white wine because it was hot out, and then it rained.
Poured.
Yeah, poured. But that was fine. I forget that I do like white wine. I mean, I like red wine too.
I'll say, we used to like drink red wine all the time together.
Well...
Maybe you'll get back into it this winter.
Yeah, I haven't had it in a while, so maybe I'll have some and get back into it. I don't know. I just don't like how it makes your teeth and mouth feel. Like double brush before you go to sleep after drinking wine. Anyway, we have a new theme. It's called Absurd History.
How many themes do we have?
I think we only have like six.
Oh, okay.
But...
Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But not, they're all very interesting. So.
Yeah, but I just keep bringing stuff back. So, like, yeah it's just kind of like I get bored of doing, like, ridiculous battles. And then
Well, there's only, like, so many.
But I also look for some, like, things that are new, and then they kind of don't fit with the current themes. So then I just kind of make a new one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like it.
It might work. It might not. Let's, whatever. But yeah, Absurd History today, part one of this. We have three stories, but they're shorter stories, and they're just kind of like events that you'd be like I actually, like I have dark humor, so like I think a couple of these are funny. I think all three are funny, to be honest, but the first two are like, you know, have to do with like people dying or people that are already dead, but like the story is just kind of funny to me. And the first one that we're going to talk about is the Cadaver Synod.
Oh, okay.
That's how you pronounce that. Synod.
Synod.
Yes.
Never heard of that word before.
Yes. It's also known as the Synodus Horrenda, which is an infamous event in the history of the Catholic Church that took place in January of the year 1897. So we're going back a ways away, 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 away. And this has to do with two popes. So... The Cadaver Synod, I said that wrong already. It looks like synode, so you want to say it that way. But yeah. The Cadaver Synod was a posthumous trial of Pope Formosus, who had died in 1896.
Wait, but you're saying 18. You mean 800.
I mean 896.
Okay. So January of 897.
Correct.
Okay.
And... He died.
It's a really, really, really long time
ago. In 896. I'm sorry that I said 18. No, it's 1,000 years before that.
Just want to clarify.
Yeah, this is a wild story because a sitting pope dug up the prior pope and put his corpse up for trial.
What?
Against his controversial things that he did during his papacy.
Like, he's dead. What does it matter?
Exactly. But apparently, what I was reading on this website here, Catholic.com magazine, this is normal for back then. Synods happened all the time. Like, in our current day, this is not understandable because someone died, whatever, we let it go. Right?
Yeah, you're not going to, like, try somebody that died. Right.
Like a serial killer dies, we're not going to waste our tax dollars, put him on the stand, like, you know.
Yeah, put him on trial.
Put him on trial and dead, call him guilty when, okay, you know, who cares? But apparently back then, this was a big thing, especially with popes, to bring forward, like, their sins, I guess, and the things they did wrong during their papacy. Now, this trial was brought forward by Pope Stephen VI, and he's also known as Pope Stephen the Seventh. I don't understand why he's six and seven. But yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. He was elected Pope after Formosus' death, and he was a member of a faction that opposed Formosus and sought to discredit his papacy. So during the synod, Formosus' decaying corpse was exhumed and brought into the courtroom. Like Weekend at Bernie style.
Yeah.
The deceased pope was placed on a throne and put on trial for various charges, including perjury, coveting the papacy, and violating canon law, which is Catholic law. So I'm just imagining, like, you got this dude on strings, like, just like Weekend at Bernie's, and you have his old pope hat on him. And I just think it's funny because, like, the guy can't even defend himself.
Yeah. And that's, like, part of, like, that's a whole trial. Part of,
well, how we understand trials, I guess, yeah. Like, in our justice system, right? Like, you have a right to witnesses. You have a right to make a statement. Like, you have all these criminal rights.
A right to a lawyer.
Apparently, back then, they just put you on your dead body on a throne and charge you with all these things. And then they look at the people that they've colluded with, and they go, do you find them guilty? And everyone says yes, and then apparently
he's guilty.
Papacy is invalid. That's just how this works, I guess. Unsurprisingly, Formosus was found guilty because, again, you can't speak for yourself, and no one was there to defend him. It was all of Pope Stephen the 6th/7th, whatever, all of his people that were there for the trial. And voted, obviously, in his favor. So, Pope Formosus' papacy was declared invalid, and his remains were stripped of papal garments, reburied in a common grave, and later thrown into the Tiber River.
Oh. Okay. So he doesn't have his burial in, like, a Catholic gravesite anymore.
Like, well, popes are buried in, like, I think they used to be buried in, like, really big tombs. Kind of like a mausoleum, right?
Probably.
And yeah, he went from, you know, glam and glory to, hey, let's just throw his corpse in the frickin' Tiber River.
So then he was reburied on common ground, but then unburied again.
They dug him up and then threw him into the river. This guy went through a lot.
It seems like it's a lot of work.
Like, if you're able to see your body in the afterlife, this guy's just up there like, what the fuck are you doing to me?
Totally. Like, just let me rest in peace.
Jeez. Like, it's that serious, I guess.
Yeah, apparently.
However,
he had a grudge against him or something.
Oh, yeah, he did not like this guy. Yeah, it's just like politics, right? Like, you absolutely hate someone who opposes your viewpoints, and then you just freaking
screw you.
Destroy them, usually on social media. However, the cadaver synod. God, I keep saying synod. The cadaver synod was widely condemned and seen as a grotesque and politically motivated act. No shit.
Yeah, sounds about right.
However, this is a period of great instability within the Catholic Church with several short-lived papacies and political manipulation of the papal office. So many popes not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Well, we kind of know that.
Well, it's happening today with the current pope as well. Politically motivated instead of, you know, standing by your principles and things like
within
that.
Your I'm church. Not. But again, it's not a political podcast, so we're not going into
I'm not religious. I'm just saying the Catholic Church.
Grew up Catholic.
I did. But I'm not. I'm a faithful person, but I'm not really a religious person. But if we're talking about the Catholic Church and what I know about it, this pope has done a lot of things the opposite way in the name of politics. So kind of talking about something here that relates to current day. I will move on from that. So the event is obviously remembered as a bizarre and shocking episode in the church history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Putting corpses on trial. Amazing. it highlights the extent to which papal politics and factionalism, we've talked about factionalism before, could distort religious practices and norms. So like factions of different religions, right? Like mm-hmm. just like Muslim, you have Sunnis and Shiites. I forget which group is more radical than the other. I think it's the Sunnis that are more radical than the Shiites, but it could be the other way. But you have this factionalism within a religion where mm-hmm. people are more like extremist. Or some people are more loose about it, right?
Well, that's like Catholicism as well.
Yeah. So, I mean,
or Christianity.
And it's funny because religion is just like politics, right? There's people that are really strict about their politics, and then there's some that are more moderate about it. So mm-hmm. it leans both ways. But yes, this is a dramatic example of how the intersection of politics and religion can lead to extraordinary and troubling historical events like the Cadaver Synod and our man, Pope Formosus, whose corpse is somewhere laying in the banks of the Tiber River.
Tiber River, yeah. Interesting. Well, that's pretty bizarre.
I thought that one was kind of goofy. Yeah, there's my dark humor for you right there. All right, let's talk about people dying in beer.
Okay.
Speaking of, I'm not drinking Busch Light today.
Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about what you're drinking.
No, we were talking about wine, and then I wanted to get started, but I forgot that I am not drinking Busch Light.
You are not.
No.
And you have Busch Light.
Our friends Rob and Kim left us some Labatt Blue Light, the Canadian Pilsner, in our fridge, and I didn't even know they were in a box somewhere. Audrey found them when she was cleaning out the beer fridge.
All the expired beers that we had.
And you know how, like, I know you might not know this, but, like, Budweiser tastes different than Bud Light.
Yeah, I would not know. But I know, like, Budweiser's, like heavier.
Labatt Blue Light and Labatt Blue to me taste exactly the same.
Hmm.
So I don't know what the light part is here. Maybe it's just less calories, but the same kind
probably
of taste, like Corona.
Less calories.
Corona Light, I feel like in Corona tastes the same. Corona Extra, whatever, but... Yeah, thanks, Rob and Ken, for leaving me some Labatts, because I love Labatts.
Those are also have been here for a while, but not as long as some of the other beers that were in the fridge.
Oh, yeah, like from 2 years ago.
2022.
3 years ago.
Like, okay, we're tossing all this crap.
Yeah, and it's hockey night for me tonight, so Labatts is just appropriate. So anyway, the London beer flood of 1814. So very unusual and tragic event, kind of a mishap. This happened on October 17th of 1814 in the St. Giles district, or Giles, I don't know, because...
Giles?
British, yeah, but British pronunciation of G's are different sometimes. Yeah. So it could be St. Giles, it could be, like, I would say St. Giles, how that's G-I-L-E-S,
yeah.
for our UK listeners over there, you can correct me. I know there's a few of you over there, so thank you for listening from over the pond. So... Here's the incident. The Moe and Company Brewery, M-E-U-X, Moe. Mm-hmm. That's, I'm guessing that's how you say that. It almost sounds French, right?
Mew. Yeah, regardless.
Yeah.
Okay.
This was located on Tottenham Court Road, and the disaster was triggered by the rupture of a large fermentation tank containing over 1.4 million liters of beer. Which is about 388,000 gallons.
Oh, that's a lot of beer wasted.
Correct, yeah. So the tank's burst caused the destruction of other large vats in a domino effect, releasing a torrent of beer into the streets of London.
Just start chugging.
I mean, I... you
Just
could,
get your cup.
388,000 gallons.
That's a lot
now,
of beer.
Now, here's the wild part of this. This vat that exploded took out the back wall of the brewery and literally went like a beer tsunami down the streets.
Oh my gosh.
So people were literally, their basements were flooding.
With beer.
They drowned. 8 people died during this.
Oh my god.
From drowning in beer. Right. And it's hot because it's in the fermentation process.
Oh.
So this isn't like cold beer in a keg.
Yeah.
This is like hot fermentating beer in the process.
Like burn.
Oh my god. Probably burn to death, drown to death, your lungs explode.
Ooh.
From being overly consumed
with fermented beer.
Yeah. This is a sad part I found while researching this. There was a family of 4 having a memorial service for a 2-year-old child.
Oh no.
Who had just died the day before. All 4 of them died.
Ugh.
And drowned in their home as the beer rushed through their windows. And yeah, that was a really sad part about that.
That is sad.
So people were like really pissed at the Moe & Company Brewery. And they thought like they should be held responsible for this. It's an accident.
It is, but like, yeah, you should be held responsible for it.
Yeah, they weren't.
The
brewery faced lawsuits for the damage caused, but they were ultimately deemed as an act of God, meaning the disaster was considered as unforeseeable and uncontrollable, like a natural event, like a hurricane or a tornado.
I mean, but something had to have happened that caused it, and there was a mistake made, right?
Well, I don't think so, because, like, what if your equipment, like, they don't have they don't have inspections back then like we do now. And they don't have, like, OSHA.
Because, like, if it was a malfunction, then yes, that they would be liable. Somebody would be liable
I would go to the manufacturer at that point of the vat, you know. But at the same time, this is kind of like something just, you know, pressure happened and something came loose on the machinery.
Yeah.
And it released. And so, like, it's just like a natural, like a hurricane, like, you can't really control it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but you should still take responsibility.
I'm sure they did. I mean, I'm sure they apologized. I'm sure they weren't
people died.
Too bad. Yeah. People drowned in our beer. Hope they liked it. but no, they face no financial penalties from the result of the flood. In fact, they are granted a tax reprieve. Ugh, can't say that word.
Reprieve.
Tax reprieve on the lost beer, which helped the business recover.
Interesting.
So it was actually the opposite for them.
Yeah, they gained.
Yeah, so all this free beer, okay? There were people just scooping it up, like you were talking about a minute ago. They were literally taking whatever container, like, if they weren't in, like, the danger zone of this giant tsunami wave of beer, like, as it got down further into the streets, people were taking, like, all of their containers, whatever they could find, and just scooping it up.
Yeah, but, like, I wonder, like, how long it was in the process of. Like, is it good?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is. Like, you just have to wait for it to cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of funny. So 8 people died. A 9th person died days after the flood from alcohol poisoning.
They just drank too much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Whoops.
So yeah, there's that happens. Serious aspect of where you have 8 lives lost because of this tragedy, but then you have the 9th person who was like, I'm going to drink as much of this free beer as I can. And then they were the 9th death of this tragedy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, so, hey, guys, I know it's fun to drink, but when you start to feel not good, probably time to stop.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You had to have had a lot of beer to get alcohol poisoning, though.
Oh,
I mean, liquor obviously is different, but, like, that has to be a lot of beer. Or if it was, like, a higher percentage because it was still in the fermentation process, maybe?
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
That just, like, came to my mind.
That is true because, yeah, in that process, your alcohol content's really high. Just like in making whiskey and vodka, when you're fermenting, that alcohol content is really high.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that could be it. Yeah. So, the London beer flood remains a notable the London Beer Flood remains a notable event in London's history due to its bizarre nature and the sheer scale of the incident. It serves as an unpredictable consequence of technological failures.
Yeah, I would say.
I'm stating the obvious there. But again, this is just bizarre and absurd. Like,
for sure.
You know, we had like the Great Chicago Fire, right? And it, you know, it's always said that Miss O'Leary's lamp kicked over the... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Miss O'Leary's cow kicked over the lantern, and that's what started Chicago on fire. But there's, like, three different theories about how it actually started that, and that just was the most famous one. So it became, like, our tale in the Chicago area. But this is, like, another one of those events, right? Like, just unforeseeable, something that just, in a big city. I mean, London in the 1800s, very packed with people. So it's kind of... It's kind of a good thing that there was only 9 people that died in this.
Yeah, it could have been a lot more. That the victims were mostly women and children too.
Yes. Mm. So that was a sad one.
Yeah. Well, we are going to have to pause and bring a guest in because Miss Kennedy is awake.
Okie doke.
So for our last one, we have a special guest.
All right. We'll be right back after this short break. All right, we are back, and we have a special guest with us.
Yes, we do.
Miss Kennedy Joan.
Yeah, you have some stuff to say?
You want
to
talk to people? We just finished 2 stories. Do you want to help us with the 3rd one?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it. All right, so our 3rd story is... Yeah, is that Oak? The 3rd story is the Battle of the Kegs, which is actually a humorous event that took place in the American Revolutionary War, specifically on January 6th of 1778 in the Delaware River near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Ooh.
Yeah, so at the time, Philadelphia was occupied by British forces under the command of General Sir William Howe. Do you know that name?
I feel like I have heard that one, yes.
I feel like you're lying to me.
No, I really feel like I've heard that name before.
So this was part of the American strategy. The British forces had their supply lines running into Philadelphia down the Delaware River. So the Americans were trying to think of creative ways they could harass the British. And one of these methods involved using floating explosive devices that were made of beer kegs. The Americans filled several kegs with gunpowder and fitted them with detonators. I don't know what type of detonators it is, but pretty much while these kegs floated down the river, right when they hit a British ship, they would explode.
Were they like the kegs that like we use now?
They didn't have metal kegs back
then. I
didn't
think so.
They're wood barrels.
That's what I was like.
They're like
those.
The small wood barrels like this.
They're
2 feet
That's
high
what
and a little
I
bit wide.
Was thinking.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, there's no way they have metal kegs like that.
No. So these were literally floating mines that they were throwing down the river in trying to basically make contact with British ships and have them explode, right? So the British forces spotted the kegs and they mistook them for like a very significant threat. And they really overreacted. It's not like they were floating towards them quickly, you know.
Yeah, they're not like a torpedo.
Exactly. it's like a barrel floating in the water.
Yeah, it's going to take a little while.
It's
going to
take
a
while. So the soldiers and sailors on the boats and ships started to fire upon the floating kegs with their muskets and cannons, causing a war in the Philadelphia harbor. So the public are like, what is going on?
Yeah, like what's happening?
There must be a huge battle going on now. No, the British Navy was just firing pretty much at anything that they thought was a threat, whether it was a keg or not. It could have been like a barrel, it could have been a fish, a shark, I don't know. But they could have been shooting at anything. Right?
Yes. I don't have my things to block the stairs anymore.
Oh no.
I was like, oh no. So you're going to sit on my lap.
The kegs cause little to no damage to the British fleet.
I feel like they're just not powerful enough.
Is that funny? Yeah, it's funny because
to do a lot of damage.
It was a distraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they were just blowing them all up, right? So the battle, in quotes, ended without significant damage to the British or any major strategic gains for the Americans. However, this event becomes a source of amusement and mockery for the Americans against the British. There was even a song written about it.
We'll have to listen.
Yeah, I can put it at the end of this, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
If I can find an example of it. But it's a satirical poem that turned into a song, and you can sing it to Yankee Doodle.
Oh, okay.
So it's written by Francis Hopkins.
Riding on a pony. Stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni.
Yankee Doodle, keep it up.
Yankee Doodle Dandy. Mind
you. You like that song?
I don't know the rest of the lyrics.
No, I don't either. So yes, Francis Hopkinson wrote this satirical poem that's titled The Battle of the Kegs. And you can sing it to Yankee Doodle. So it humorously describes the British soldiers' overreaction to the kegs floating towards them and portraying them as cowardly and easily frightened by anything that the Continental Army did.
Yeah.
Hey, come back here. Kennedy's running away, and she's really good at climbing the stairs, and now she's on the stairs.
And now I'm
so
gonna
Audrey's
go got
to take her headphones
baby.
Off and go run after her. So yeah, that's the Battle of the Kegs. It's just kind of humorous. It's meant to be kind of like in jest towards the British and making fun of them being cowards and easily frightened by anything that floated their way. I hope that the colonists like drank that beer before they used those kegs. I hope they were empty
they didn't
kegs.
Waste it.
Yeah, kind of like the whole brewery in London there. I know it's not. I know, it's not funny. That's a waste of beer.
Yeah, we don't alcohol waste beer. Abuse.
We don't waste beer. you can go check out the poem. If I can find a version of it and the audio for it, I'll try and put it at the end of the podcast here. So if you hang out for a minute
and want
to
listen,
and you
want
to listen to the song, if I can find it, I will put it on there. But. Those are our three absurd historical stories today.
Those are pretty absurd and bizarre.
Yeah. Audrey going, absurd, was Kennedy falling off her lap and her catching her. Yeah, that's funny, right? Whose belly is that? All right. Well, thank you again for coming back and listening to the History on the Rocks podcast. We hope you enjoy your weekend. Go see some friends, some family. Get some drinks in. Woo-hoo. Enjoy the last weeks of summer.
Two more weekends.
Especially if you're a teacher.
Yeah.
Because we're going back in a couple of weeks, and you're going to daycare.
A couple days a week.
For a couple days a week.
Only two.
Yep. We'll see you next week with a brand new
History on the Rocks
History
podcast.
History on the Rocks podcast. I don't know what took me so long to say that. I was going to say another episode, but yeah. We'll see you next week on the History on the Rocks podcast. Everyone, have a great weekend.
Cheers.
Cheers.